We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, next week, it is that time again where we give away a chance to win $1,000 every day between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. This year, we're giving you a chance to take home Dono's dollars. He moved to middays, and he has some extra cash hanging around.
Dono's got extra cash?
Wow. Who knew?
Somebody got real creative on that one.
So you could take it right from. This will be a national contest, and it's brought to you by Anajar Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. Win Dono's dollars starting next week right here on 560 FM 96.5 HD2 WQM at radio.com sports station.
I think Dono liked to have that money in his own pocket.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not Zach's dollars.
Yeah. Zach's dollars, we wouldn't be promoting them.
You got a chance to win 16 cents every hour. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, we got all kinds of stuff. We got Manny Diaz going to join the Hurricanes head football coach in the 7 o'clock hour. Talk to coach after the final spring game up in Orlando. Tate Martell, Nikosi Perry, Jaron Williams, the rotation, and everybody else. I'll tell you what's a really cool story coming out of spring. And I to this day, and I'll say it to coach when he comes on, I can't imagine leaving high school early. The last half of high school, the last semester or quarter, according to however your school system was set up, was the most fun. Like, chance to go hang out with your buddies, maybe that little lady you've been wanting to chase around a little
senior
more time.
Senior prom, last 2 months of high school before you go to college. You're the big man on campus right now. You're about to go to school and be, you know, on the football team and go to college. But you're right. The last kind of like 30 days or 60 days of your senior year in high school.
That's a pretty fun time.
Yeah.
Usually you're done with all your hard classes and you're screwing around. But
Different days.
Man, these guys now anywhere from 5, 8, 9 guys graduate early, and when they should still be in the second half of their high school senior year, they're all going out and playing spring football. And by the way, some of these guys, we'll talk to coach about them, really seem to be playing well. Like the jump, they were prepared and ready to move on. Like, high school's over, I got to get to my next goal. And it is incredible to watch. And we literally see these guys change their mind where they're going to school, and you go, well, maybe you talk him out of it. Go, no, it's too late. He already, it's the start. It's after Christmas. He's already moved on, and he's starting a second semester. It's incredible
it
to see
cool.
that guys are now going 3.5 years to high school, finishing up and getting in, so they can go to spring football early as a, I guess what we call it, a true freshman. I call it a senior in high school,
yeah.
But as a true freshman for spring football, so. The Miami Hurricanes have had a few guys that have really played well. We'll get into all those guys with Coach coming up, and we'll talk to him. We're also going to have – this is kind of cool. This will take you back. Josh Booty. Does everybody remember the name Josh Booty? He was actually the Marlins' first-round pick and a high first-round pick back in 1994.
Overall, yeah.
And I don't know if people recall, he had the football bug slash really good baseball player, and he's kind of going back and forth. But I think he got a signing bonus like $1.6 million back in 1994. And, of course, he had a little pig in him. He took the money. And the baseball thing never worked out. A lot of people thought he never got football out of his system. Then he ended up quits, does go play football, goes to college, and then had a cup of coffee in the National Football League.
By the way, the Marlins reportedly paid him $1.6 million. It was a then-draft signing bonus record.
Yeah, wow.
When he got that $1.6, it was the highest ever signing bonus for a top pick, and he was the fifth overall pick in that. Spent 5 years in the Marlins organization.
Everybody talked about all the talent. He was just apparently just obviously great high school baseball player, but never – got the football stuff from Louisiana, never got it out of his system, never got that LSU stuff out of his system where he grew up by there. And so anyway, we'll talk to him and get caught up with everything on the drafts. Doing a lot of football stuff now, so we'll talk to him about all of his journeys here, including going back to 1994 and being here. Do you remember else was drafted high by the Marlins? Going back on you, is now a general manager, and never used the baseball card. Went right to football. I'm probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't.
I'm going way back on you. Does anybody remember that?
It'll hit the text line.
I'm going
second,
back
I'm
on
sure.
you because I didn't expect you to know. It goes back. Yeah. It was early on, high pick by the Marlins.
And he
ended up playing football.
Okay.
Right decision. Went to a lot of Pro Bowls.
You've stumped me.
Played for Tampa Bay. Played on a Super Bowl team. It was really good. Anyway.
You have totally stumped me.
I got you. But those are two Marlin guys that one worked out for and one it didn't and did the right thing.
560-22, if you know the answer to that. The Kendall Toyota, West
somebody,
Kendall Toyota.
Somebody out there is going to.
I always count to about 20.
Up there.
And then it usually comes in.
Yeah. So he's running the show now. Really good guy. Was in the booth with Fox for a while too.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. That's all.
This?
I'm not giving you any more. That's
I'm waiting
much,
for it to just come in on the.
That's as much as I'm going to tease you,
John Lynch.
That's it.
It's coming 800 times in the text line now. Wow, really?
People forget. I want to say he's a second round pick.
I had I just forgot all
I
about it.
I may be off on that one. That's off the top of my head, okay. But he talks
pretty
about
good right there
being a Marlin back, and he told him no.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell the Marlins are doing drafting all these guys.
Well, I mean, it was the right decision.
These baseball guys, that they got football in their brain. That's the whole thing with Kyler Murray, too, man. People are worried, although he looks like he's all in. We haven't heard anything mentioned about baseball for a long time with Kyler Murray.
Second-round pick, 66th overall by the Marlins.
There you go.
92 Major League Baseball.
I'm not losing it completely. But, that was early on. Early on.
Wow.
And now real close to being a Hall of Famer as a – made a bunch of Pro Bowls with Tampa Bay. All right, so we also have this other story, and I don't like these. I don't. Wes Welker kind of stories, not big on when you trade for somebody and you don't get back fair value and the other guy goes on. But we have somebody catching Wes Welker real fast. Real fast. Christian Yelich.
Ugh.
Is with Milwaukee. Won the MVP last year. 13 home runs. 31 RBI and a .361 batting average, and I saw a highlight yesterday in right center where a guy jumped over the fence to rob him of his 14th home run.
Yep.
And the problem is you get all these young – this is always the problem with when you make a trade. And Christian Yelich, to be fair to the Marlins, wanted out. He saw what they were doing. He goes, look, I'm joining everybody else. Get me out of here. Real Muto, get me out of here. I'll stay 1 year, but I'm done. So they're all gone now. But Lewis Brinson was the big piece of prospects of the guys that they got back in that Milwaukee deal with the Marlins, and he is just back and struggling again. Lewis Brinson's hitting .179, while Christian Yelich is hitting .361, and literally he's got the team on his back again.
Tearing
this
the league
year,
apart, yeah,
just,
again.
Just yeah. Ripping everything. And I understand they had to do. I get it. This is goes back to some other guys we have them all. We had to get rid of them, and they want to be here. We couldn't afford them. It wasn't under a thing. You just hate to see somebody who's good. Like Christian Yelich has turned into now over the last year and start of the season, he might be the best player in baseball.
That's hard to hear.
I mean, it's just.
It's hard to hear.
He is. This start is just unbelievable. I don't expect he's going to keep it up.
It doesn't matter. The fact that he kind of has kept it up since last season, right?
Well,
last season he was really good. He was the MVP, and it's not like there was a big drop off so far. He's playing even better this year.
Anyway, so the Marlins get their first series win on a good note to get to 6-16. Although they were shut out again yesterday, and it just the Christian Yelich thing. Every time I see him hit a home run, I mean, it's like Wes Welker catching 9 footballs every week. You're going, oh God. Right? Just just that was our guy.
Because of what you got back for it, that's why.
And you drafted, listen, Christian Yelich was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Remember, he's thinking about going, if he didn't get picked high enough, he's going to be a Miami Hurricane baseball player, and instead became a first-round pick with the Marlins, so signed and obviously made the right decision as he is friggin' tearing it up right now. Of course, the other story coming out, I got to get to, if you missed it, last night or this morning, Michael Avenatti, the scumbag attorney. Can we call him that, or is that a little too strong?
No, I think that's okay.
Day after Easter.
Yeah, it is the day after Easter.
All right, well, anyway, who would ever thought Hassan Whiteside would somehow be affiliated with this guy through his ex-girlfriend who hired Michael Avenatti to something. We don't know what the settlement was about, but Hassan Whiteside, it's got to be pretty serious, and he writes a check for almost $3 million.
Yeah, something had to have happened.
And, of course, Michael Avenatti looks like he didn't give the woman, the ex-girlfriend, any of the money,
or very little
of the money. So, anyway, he's claiming he's going to come out with a story. Sounds like he's just going to throw everybody under the bus.
That's what happens, right?
He is. He's doing a lot like the guy that got UM in trouble. I always think of that guy.
Nevin Shapiro.
Threw everybody under the bus and went to jail and, you know, right, and was looking for writers, would pick his story up till finally he apparently had some time to write apology letters to all the people he scammed, so he's probably still writing those. And
I can imagine.
How many years does he have left, by the way, Shapiro?
I don't know. I think we talked about it a couple weeks back. I'm not even sure where he is right now.
He's still got some time, right, for Bubba to chase him around. He's not done. Just want to make sure.
No, he's still in there for a little bit, yeah.
So anyway, we're waiting to see what's going to happen. But my God, I was thinking, oh, Hassan, jeez, this is a bad one. And then you're wondering, although I don't think you're allowed to say what you are, right? Isn't that stuff all confidential? I guess maybe it's not if it becomes a lawsuit and they're going after it, and Michael Avenatti's claiming he's going to tell that story too. And
yeah, he's going to tell every
apparently
story.
Apparently, he's got every story.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
While back, he had the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Aiton's
now
story,
he's got
yes.
Hassan. He's
by
got
the way, Nevin
this.
Shapiro, October 2027 is release date. Still got about 8 years and change left.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gone by fast.
Yeah. June 7th, 2011, he was sentenced to 20 years. And he's not going to serve all 20, I guess.
Does he come back here? He doesn't come back here and live.
Ooh.
Like, because he's a piece of crap every day, no matter what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be safe for him to come back here, right?
He's still coming back looking for some of the former players to be his friends.
Yeah. Maybe by the way, he's ordered to make $83 million in restitution pay also. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm guessing if you're holding your breath on getting that $83 million back when
don't
he gets
hold
out.
Your breath. Yeah, that's it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's going to have trouble getting a job at Dunkin' Donuts,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. That's going to be a
tough
one.
Yeah, but he'll end up serving, it looks like, 16 years out of the 20.
Wow, 16 of the 20.
Because if he's done in 2027, you know.
Anyway, you kind of wonder what Hassan did, though.
Yeah, isn't that the story now?
What did Hassan Whiteside do, even though the ex-girlfriend didn't get the money, like, that you agree and paid it? Now, Hassan's got a lot of money. The money's not an issue. He's got $100 million coming in by the end of next year. But what in the hell is that $2.75 million that he wrote that check for? What the heck?
Something happened, and
something
now that's
that
the story.
Something that he wanted to keep quiet and like, here, just go away and leave me alone has come out. So whatever it is. And
good luck trying to get away from that story now or trying to explain what that money was for. Because if you were trying to shut it up before, it's not. You got to have to say something now, right?
No, it's hadn't been a great year for Hassan Whiteside.
No.
From the bench to Michael Avenatti, not exactly what you're thinking.
How
you're
quickly
get.
Does that fax go in or that email go in saying I opt in for that last year? The second it's allowed, right?
Right.
I'm in. Yeah, like if it has to be
send
in by
now.
Tomorrow, it's he's already ready to push the send button.
He probably sent it before the last game, knowing this might be coming out.
Just in case I forget, I am opting in for next year. This is my official email. Here's my agent signature. I'll see you guys at camp.
God. Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy stuff. By the way, this guy was in the media every day for something, right? From porn stars to everything.
He's going
to
run for president.
He's going to run for president.
Come on.
And he had a little issue with
Stormy Daniels.
God.
The president of the United States.
Yeah.
Now Hassan Whiteside. Imagine being in that circle.
He's going from president to doing some time here in just a matter of time.
President Trump, Stormy Daniels, Hassan Whiteside. Yeah. What do they all have in common? This attorney.
God.
I don't want to be in that category. Yeah.
Hassan's
having a bad day.
Yeah, not Hassan's just he's ducked somewhere right now in North Carolina.
That's right.
In the mountains right now.
No Instagram, no Snapchat. That's it.
All right. We're going to check in with Hollywood before we get to Manny Diaz here in the 7 o'clock hour. Talk about the Hurricanes' final spring football game and take a look at his team as they go into summer now and workouts. And the next time they're all together, we're going to be getting ready for the Florida Gators.
Radio.com. Radio.com. And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got rolling this morning for us?
All right, guys, start off the NBA playoffs, and the best matchup or fight or whatever you want to call it here, the first round might be Jared Dudley of the Brooklyn Nets versus most of the Sixers. You got after with Jimmy Butler.
You're saying
you got
that
after
was,
with Joel Embiid.
That was more entertaining than the fight people paid for?
We're going to get to that in a little bit here, Joe. But the post-game comments might have been the best ones so far as well. Here's Joel Embiid, who just
fantastic.
Never stops.
When Jared Dudley got in your face in the third quarter, what did you make of the whole incident?
I mean, first of all, he's a nobody. So, and when, you know, opponents trying to do stuff like that, that's just to get us out of the game. Especially, I'm too valuable for my team. That's why I didn't react. I did not do anything. And I didn't think I was a flagrant foul because I played the ball too. But in that type of situation, I just got to stay composed and be mature and let it go because my teammates need me more than they need him. So, you know, I just got to be mature.
I love that guy.
I mean, it's
true. He is more valuable than Jared Dudley.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close.
Believe me,
he just says what we're all thinking.
Yes. I know, but you shouldn't even bring it up.
No filter.
It is disrespectful to Jared Dudley. He's been in the league for like 50 years.
I know. Jared Dudley's been around forever.
Been
right?
on every team in the league.
Yeah. He's making the rounds,
every
man.
Single one.
He's making the rounds.
He got Butler kicked out of the game. Fortunately, got the wrong guy kicked out of the game.
Game 5 tomorrow in Philly. Philly is up 3-1 looking to close that thing out.
That's done.
Good night, Loretta. That one's done.
Another team who is about ready to be closed out here, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost again to the Blazers. They're down in that series 3-1. But the bigger story might be this Russell Westbrook little contest that he's having here with Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. Now, it's interesting because this back and forth has been going on for 2 years.
I don't believe that.
They interviewed Trammell, and he was talking about how this happened from a question that he asked a couple of seasons ago, and that it's carried on, and the only reason that we're making note of it now is because it's happening kind of on a national stage here, and this is what's been going back and forth between Westbrook and Trammell.
Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. And Russell, first half, both teams struggled offensively. It was sort of a slug of a game. Both teams got going in the second half. What happened that sort of reversed the tone of this game?
Next question.
Yeah, Russ, the fourth quarter, you got a 15-point lead. They catch up. What happened the last 6, 7, 8 minutes that reversed the momentum and let you guys burst back away?
He doesn't even drop a next question on him. He's just looking around. All he did at that point, I watched it. He looked around the room. He just looked around the room. And by the way, that Barry guy asked Paul George a question a couple questions later, and Paul George dropped the next question on him.
Wow.
Like, give me a break.
Kind of hard to do your job, though, when the two
stars of
the team aren't talking to
you. That's right.
It's a bad look, though. It's a bad look for those guys. Yep. What could that guy have done?
I don't know. What was the question?
This has been happening for 2 years, though, and it really is embarrassing. And he took some Barry Trammell took some good shots at the Thunder media PR staff or whatever, and you know they're really closely guarded and they coddle their players over there.
Oof.
But those guys should have to answer those questions, right, on that stage.
I mean, you would think they would.
Yeah, if that guy's going to be writing about you, and when he gets a chance, he's going to blast them, which is about one game away in Portland when they lose. I just think it makes
Russell Westbrook
look
pathetic, doesn't it?
I understand the writers and being around them all the time. Can you imagine being around Ira every day? I mean, that would be tough. So,
but
you got to talk.
It's
your job. And he just needs stuff to write.
I just think it's easier to answer the question than it is to do what he's doing and then become a story.
You give him generic stuff that's so bad he won't ask you questions.
That's it.
You know, if they were cruising through the playoffs, it'd be one thing. They're about to get eliminated.
Yeah, what's that article going to look like? What's that article going to look like?
Mm. And I don't know if all this has to do with the same thing here, but now we take a look at the NBA playoff TV ratings, and they are down around 30% here for the opening round of the playoffs. The opening weekend was down 31%.
Wow.
And again, a lot of that was because of the Masters, which was
last weekend.
We're
blaming Tiger for all that?
Yeah, we do have to blame Tiger. But look, through the entire first round, it's been down anywhere from 25 to 30% on any given day here. Even the Masters replay beat one of the NBA playoff games.
Come on.
In viewers.
Stop. Like people wanted to see Tiger again over the NBA games?
I would have watched the last two or three holes again also.
The I told you that Tiger stuff was going to hammer the basketball games, but I am a little surprised their numbers are down that much.
How about this one? Saturday Spurs-Nuggets game, which did not compete directly with any other sports, only pulled in a 1.1, which is the lowest rating for an NBA playoff game since the Nets and Raptors met in 2007.
Woof.
Mm. Ouch.
And then to compound it, guys, how about this story about Duke, who averaged 2.23 million viewers on ESPN for their games throughout the season? The NBA averaged 1.99 million viewers for its combined 101 NBA telecasts during the regular season.
Wow.
So Duke pulling in more viewers per game than the
Not
NBA
Duke,
was.
Zion.
Yeah.
Who's getting, that's why.
Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett aren't bringing in 2.2 million every night. Zion was.
That's unbelievable, though. Duke getting better numbers in the NBA. Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, Joe, you mentioned that people were forced to pay if you wanted to watch the Terrence Crawford-Amir Khan fight, which ended with a controversial low blow. Amir Khan did not want to come back out. Of course, he had his excuses after the match, but still very disappointing for the fans at Madison Square Garden, paid big money to watch, and the fans at home. Who also paid big money to watch, unfortunately.
You didn't buy that, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know how that made pay-per-view, by
really
the way.
Did.
He was
Neither
a 10-1 underdog,
yeah.
Amir Khan.
That was an HBO special.
And he quit.
Yeah.
Well, HBO's not boxing anymore.
He collected,
Showtime special.
He collected a check. He's
That's
done.
It.
Once you do that, you should never. You want to fight and someone wants to give you $5,000-$10,000 to go fight. Outside of that, though, that guy should never be on pay-per-view when that happens. You should be done.
Wow.
You guys ready for a little prices right here? Last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so we had Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, bought John Lennon's piano. It was the piano Lennon used to write the Beatles' eighth studio album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The actual piano. How much do you think he paid for it?
Ooh. I want to go second so I could play a dollar.
$700,000.
Oh, I'm going to go $1.
Joe actually wins $718,750.
Come on, man. It's
for
Beatles,
the piano.
Man,
yeah, but I just figured it might be 500 grand. I would win that. We're doing Price of Right. It's not like we're actually guessing here. I figured I'd have it. $718,000.
I thought you were going to tell me more, actually.
No, he's a big music fan. He also paid almost $1 million for a Jerry Garcia guitar.
Yeah.
And he also bought a Bob Dylan guitar.
Must be tough having that much money.
He got a lot.
Got a rough life, man.
Yeah, that owning that Colts team.
Yeah,
not a bad situation. $700,000
for a piano.
Well,
which he'll never play.
Yeah, they may just be.
You don't play it.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. You're spending $700,000 on a piano. It's going to sit in the corner, do nothing.
Like you have Michael Jordan basketball. You're not going to out and dribble and shoot it, are you?
You're going to pay $700,000 for it?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm not going to get one. But I will tell you. We're getting Manny Diaz next, and we have to pay too much for that.
No,
Hurricanes head football
grand.
Coach will join us, talk about Orlando, and spring football is over. Who looked good? Who looked bad? Well, we won't get into bad, but we'll get into all the good things that happened for the Miami Hurricanes. That's coming up in just a moment, so stay with us for that.
Radio.com.
All right, they're back from Camping World Stadium. Manny Diaz and the Miami Hurricanes football team. Miami Hurricanes head football coach Manny Diaz is going to join us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Manny, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning. How are you?
Manny, we're doing fantastic, man. It's good to see, and I know it's still up and down, but just see guys making big plays and getting better. I know it's not where you want it to be because you don't have your full squad. You got guys injured and stuff, but let's start at the quarterback position. Tate Martell, apparently everybody said has looked better, coach, and made this thing a little more interesting for the next couple of months.
Well, it's always been interesting. You know, I mean, you know, our criteria for how we were going to choose that our quarterback hadn't changed. You know, you're teaching all these guys. It's like you're teaching them all math, right? And you're sitting there and you're trying to get them to understand all the concepts. And, you know, now we can stop while we're all in fourth grade and try to decide who's going to be the best engineer when we're in fourth grade, right? Or we can just continue to teach and understand that we got a process going on. And that's really, you know, look, you know, when you open things up and everybody takes a peek and everybody wants to make assessments, that's the same exact thing as trying to figure out, you know, again, who Einstein is in fourth grade. And the reality is this, is that if our guy is only at a fourth grade level, we're going to get our butts kicked anyway. So
right.
I thought all three guys have really improved. I thought all three guys made outstanding throws in Orlando. And I think we got a good thing. I think all three guys go into the summer knowing that they can play. And I think the guys in our locker room know that all three guys can play. And so now it's like the race is on. And for us as coaches to really find out, you know, when we come back that last week of July, when we report for training camp, to see who really, really grasped this thing and what level we're at when we come back in August.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because you're splitting up three guys, all getting chances. How do you find that guy in a short period of time, coach, when you're rotating guys and this guy looks good and then that guy looks good? How tough is that decision going to be to make?
Well, it'll be interesting, and that's what it'll really be up to them, you know, to make it obvious. I mean, you want it to be obvious. And, you know, we've been pretty consistent on what it takes to be the quarterback. Number one, that's the guy that can avoid the critical errors. And then it's the decision making, and then it's the accuracy. And those are the parts that I think will make, you can already see they've made strides in that throughout the spring because they're becoming more comfortable with the scheme. So therefore they can make better decisions. And if you're more confident in your decisions, you'll throw a more accurate ball. And that's kind of what you start to see happen. Now, that's why I say the guys, they may pop at different times. One guy may get it after day 7. One guy may get it after day 10. You know, I mean, this is just all part of the teaching process. They got to go and they got to run with that now. And that's when they're out there throwing in the summertime with their fellow teammates and you know, and seeing who really is going to take control of the team.
Coach, you had a young offensive line. How'd they grade out this weekend at the scrimmage?
I thought considering sort of the mixing and matching of what we've had to do with some guys being out, you know, I'm pleased with the progress of our offensive line this spring. You know, obviously when, you know, there's certain matchups we have and we're going against our one defensive line that are, you know, we hope to make people look bad in the fall that we're playing against. We kind of did that all last year. So there's going to be some bad matchups in there, but I thought, you know, a bunch of guys have made some major progress. You know, and I think you saw really in the last two scrimmages, you know, giving our offense and at least the chance to be effective, to get plays run and to let our quarterbacks have a chance to get the ball to our playmakers.
Coach, you know what always amazes me? We were talking about this early this morning. Guys that should be in high school getting ready for their senior ball and going out on dates and finishing up high school are actually in spring football, and you've had some guys play really well. Harvey, Peyton, Nelson, and does it surprise you on how many guys are so mature that they're actually having an impact on spring football?
Well, think about this. To graduate early, right, means you have to be mature enough, okay, to finish your class load in high school by December. So you already have a little bit of maturity about you, just the fact that you're able to get your work done. And
right.
And so you have a little – you're a little different anyway. But, those three guys – you know, the fact they've come in, you want it to be worth their while, right? You want them to have some success and make it worth their while for the extra work they did academically to be able to graduate early and come and get in, you know, and workouts and spring practice. And so to see, you know, Harvey with sacks and Peyton with touchdowns and Zion, I mean, Zion's become a major factor in our rotation of tackles. So to have all those guys have success, that's rewarding to them because now they'll know why they went through all the hard work to get here early.
Let me ask you about Zion real quickly. He came in like 240. I thought there was a mistake when I saw it. I went 240 pounds when he got here. And now you're talking about how good he's been. I guess he's up to like 270 now. Oof. That's a coach. Is that just a situation where you look and go, oh, he's going to fill out? We see him. How the hell do you find a guy like that?
Well, I think it's what you're looking for. You know, I mean, I think, there's certain guys that may look a certain way in high school, but there's certain guys. You remember, they're still growing. You know, I mean, they're still 17-year-old kids, and you're looking for a frame at times. Remember, nothing makes you a better player when you're 300 as opposed to when you're 299. There's no special magical thing that happens when that weight starts at the three. What does matter is your ability to move, your power, your strength,
right,
your explosion, things like that. And he'll continue to grow, and David Feely's doing a great job with him and all of our guys in our weight room. But you are looking at a lot of times with offensive linemen, because that is a place. I mean, the NFL gets it wrong so often with you know, drafting offensive linemen, same with recruiting offensive linemen. You know, you got to look for the guy that you want. And there's only so many, you know, 6'5", 300-pound guys in high school that really can play and actually enjoy playing, you know. So, you know, I think that's always – evaluation is such a massive part of offensive line recruiting.
Coach, K.J. Osborne, Will Mallory, hearing a lot about them, especially after the scrimmage on Saturday. How are they impressing you so far?
Well, both those guys can really make plays. You know, K.J., you want to see the guys get rewarded in the game that do the work when no one's watching. And KJ has been as hard of a worker as anybody on our team since he showed up. And so it's great for him to see it, you know, they let him make a play in front of the fans. And then you hope to see a lot more of that come the fall. And then Will Mallory is just a matchup nightmare. I mean, he's so tall. He's got such a humongous catch radius, great hands, you know, and even the touchdown he caught in the red zone. You know, there's just, I mean, you can be in good coverage and the quarterback can just throw them open because there is just such a large radius to throw at. So fun weapons to have. And we had some other ones that were on the sidelines and sweatpants. It'll be fun to have those guys back in August as well.
Coach, your defensive end position, just looking at what you have and what you got coming in from the portal and everything else here, the defensive end position, could that be the strongest position on this team when it's all said and done here in September?
It needs to be a strength for us for sure. You know, you've got experienced guys like Patchen and Garvin. You've got a guy with such potential like Rousseau. And then when you bring in a Trayvon Hill, you know, that is what separates the elite college teams, right? Is usually their defensive line. And you want to have those defensive ends that offenses have the game plan around, you know, whether it's, they've got to keep it back in the chip or keep it tight end. It affects what they do because you've got this matchup. You know, there's no more physical mismatch on the field than an offensive lineman, you know, who, like we mentioned, weighs 300 pounds, who has to go backwards blocking a defensive end who can run like the wind, who's going forward. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's no other place where two athletes of greater extremes are going up against each other. And so that's a major part of our 4-3 defense and a major reason why we should continue to recruit great defensive ends come to the school because it is a glamour position in this defense.
Manny, I wanted to ask you, this kind of ties in with the Dolphins too, who have let go of their three veteran defensive ends. Help me out. Are these pass rushers, are these guys, is it more natural or is it something you can coach a guy up and make him a good pass rusher? Help me out. You've done it. You've seen the process done from 17 and 18-year-olds on up. How do you find them?
Well, yeah, guys definitely have a knack for it. There is an athleticism. There's an ability that you have to, you know, in terms of your ability to bend. You know, as we like to say, some guys are just hard to block. And then really the one of the most important skills in pass rush is just being relentless. You know, I mean, if you think about it, if you get one sack a game, you're going to be an All-American, right? If you get one sack a game in the National Football League, you're going to get 16 on the year.
Right.
You're probably going to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Right? That's one play. So what you're really doing is you're just going and you're going and you're going and you're going every down to hope to get that maybe that one play. And what you're really doing is you're really not judged by sacks. If you really think about it, you're really judged by the disruption and the chaos that you cause. And it may be, you know, causing the quarterback to throw a hurried pass or, you know, step up before you want to step up. You know, just do those type of things. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, it's more that motor. I think all the great ones have always had this relentless motor that – and that's why having depth, you know, like from our standpoint, having four guys like we've had over the past couple of years, you know, Trent Harris led us in sacks 2 years ago and, you know, technically wasn't a starter. And that to me is what should separate us from the teams we play.
Coach, what about defensive tackle? Obviously, losing Willis was big for this team last year. He was one of the best players, if not the best player on defense last year. How's that stacking up so far through spring for you at that position?
Well, really pleased with the jump that Jay Silvera made. You know, and I think that really helped us out in there. Jonathan Ford, we didn't have him on Saturday, but he made a massive jump and really looks like a guy that can cause a lot of disruption. We know Pat Bethel has been, you know, just super steady on the inside and will continue to be that way. And, you know, Jordan Miller, I think, played his best on Saturday. You know, we see him kind of coming along that same track as John Ford. We think he's got an outstanding future to come. And, you know, and then obviously we had Chigozie and a couple of really, really talented freshmen when they get here in the summertime. So we feel, you know, again, you can't play, you know, the Miami 4-3 is going to start with the D-tackle position. And you know, between Tito and G, like you mentioned, we lost a couple good ones last year, but I think we have some guys that can fill the void.
Coach, is there a position you're still concerned with when everybody comes back that you still don't have enough talent on this team?
Well, I think, you know, we're all greedy, right?
Well, no, that's good. It's a greedy show. Go ahead. Yeah.
Anywhere you can, you know, but no, I mean, I think what we're really going to do is we're going to kind of assess our roster for a while and look and see where we're at after spring. You kind of step back a little bit away from the emotion of seeing the guys every day when you're kind of right in there in the middle of all the trees, you know, and sort of step back and really what we'll do is we'll go recruiting. We'll watch our spring cut-ups. Obviously, there is a chance for us to add a couple more guys to our roster, which will go, you know, a little bit predicated on need, a little bit predicated on what's best available and who we think can actually fit in our locker room and improve our football team. You know, we don't just need a guy to get a guy. We need guys that are going to make us better, that everybody in the locker room should understand that. I don't know that there's there's certainly obviously some places, you know, obviously, you know, like where we feel we have more experience but you can always use more depth.
I just wonder if you're going to tell me you're hitting that portal again. I was waiting for a little, see if you're getting ready to go all portal on me again here, Coach.
Well, we may peek in there and see what's floating around.
Yeah, right. Why not? All right, Coach, you want to spill the beans? What's up with the leaving the turnover chain at home and talking about maybe an offensive thing going on? You want to break some news here on the show?
Well, we just didn't feel like, until whatever our offensive counterpart debuts, we just didn't feel like we wanted the, you know, only the defense to have the fun on Saturday. There'll be another chain. There'll be some sort of offensive counterpart. We just got to figure out what that is and we'll see them all on August 24th.
Coach, that Orlando thing, real quickly, work out the way you wanted it to as far as getting ready for knowing this, will you play your first game of the season next year?
Better than I could have hoped.
Okay.
Better than I could have hoped. It was, you know, we intended to be a dress rehearsal. We, you know, stayed in the same hotel and got a feel for that place. It's an outstanding hotel up there. Citrus Bowl people treated us great. But our guys got to, you know, I mean, it sounds silly, but, you know, we changed our little, you know, sort of routine the night before the game, changed our little bit routine on game day. So we had a chance to go through that. So all of it's not new, you know, when we're going up there to play Florida. So that was outstanding. And then really the part you couldn't predict was, you know, we had an amazing day. And I thought our crowd, I just thought, you know, again, well, you know, we're 3.5 hours away from campus and to have such enthusiastic crowd and support and people turn up to watch the Canes play was really kind of, it didn't feel like a practice to our players. It didn't feel even like a scrimmage. It felt like a game, which really was what we were trying to create.
All right, Manny, spring is over, but now we're getting into summer. That means it's camp time. I know that you're going to be hosting a whole bunch over the summer, including a women's clinic on June 8th. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, want to have a women's clinic. You know, our goal is to try to teach, you know, all the female Miami Hurricane fans more about football than their husbands or boyfriends. The problem is we've got 4 hours for it, I think, and I don't know what we're going to do for the following 3 hours. You know, that may only take like 15 minutes. But it's just a couple of things we want to do to try to give back. You know, certainly we'll have our chance, but yeah, to have a women's clinic should be a lot of fun, and I imagine we'll have a pretty good time.
Paradise Camp as well coming up. Is that going to be on campus?
We will have a Paradise Camp. We'll be kind of announcing that date, and that's always been a great opportunity for some of our former players to come back and intermingle with our current team and also with some of the guys that were recruiting really hard and to get a feel of really what the University of Miami family is all about.
If you need any information on those camps, folks, MannyDiazFootballCamps.com. That's MannyDiazFootballCamps.com.
Manny, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on.
Always a pleasure, guys. All right. Have a great one.
All right, that was Manny Diaz, head football coach of the University of Miami. 8 o'clock hour is coming up. By the way, that website, once again, MannyDiazFootballCamps.com if you need more information on that. All right, 8 o'clock hour right after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.